hate, no hype, no fear. We are DFR, your protection from deception.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello, welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. And you're listening to Angry Beaver Radio, broadcasting live out of globalist-occupied Canada. And we're here with Mark, Michael, and Daniel. And we've also got Phil Ryerson here on the line. And today is November the 7th, 2015. And we just got through Halloween and a crazy Canadian election where you could wear a mask and go and vote. You could wear your Halloween costume to the voting booth. And now we've got Christmas coming up. And the Santa Claus parade should be going on pretty soon.
Isn't there a Black Friday before that or something?
Black Friday, yeah. Don't forget your Black Friday freakout.
Could be connected to black magic. You never know. That's why they call it these certain words.
Yeah, see the zombie walk.
Sure, of course.
Shopping Dead. Friday, Shopping Dead zombie hordes.
And they're also doing out here. They're stopping. What are they stopping? Stopping cars or bicyclists? Aren't they on the roads of Mississauga anyway?
Stopping them.
Talk.
Spot check.
Spot check? What do they want? Their license and registration?
Isn't it called carding or something like that?
Yeah, they're supposed to be ending that, so maybe they got a different program.
Well, they also sit there, even though they see that you're licensed, because they look it up on the computer, they see that you're right there. When the computer's right there and they're looking at it and they see that everything is normal, they go up there and go, spot check. Well, don't you have a light for that? Like, let's be real. Like, it's this totally harassment underneath the police department's part because they have no probable cause to begin with in the first place.
Well, they were saying that there was too many pedestrians getting hit this year, and that was the reason why they wanted to talk to the cyclists and that or the drivers.
Well, here in Hamilton, Ontario, we have that bike lane there, and what it's really used for mostly is the e-bikes. I see more e-bikes on those and everything. But in Toronto, they charge them for it. But here, we allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm. But in Mississauga here, the bike lanes, they're not totally finished yet. So that's why there's a lot of problems up and down the main street, Dundas here.
Yeah, but I see a lot of people riding on the road anyway. And, you know, I've seen, like, just not your normal, regular, day-mill cyclists. I mean, racers are up and down the streets, too, and they're going pretty much as fast as the cars are. So, you know, they're riding properly. But, I mean, your everyday Joe, they don't know how to ride a bike properly anyway. They're in and out of this, in and out of that, and they go through red lights. And, you know, why am I thinking, why do you guys actually drive your car like that? Would you drive a car like that?
No.
Probably not.
But believe it or not, if you have your license, they will give you points and take your driver's license from you for these things. But if you don't have your license, it's just a fine and you never have to pay because you never go to jail for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're carding people for riding a bike? Let me see your ID. So if you don't have ID on you, what, are they going to take your bicycle to the impound? And
yeah, it's probably stolen.
They'll auction it off at the police or something. There goes your bicycle. There goes your Huffy. I don't know.
it's not just the people like the pedestrians that are walking that are using iPhones and their phones, and they're not even looking where they're going. It's all of also bicyclists who have their music playing or they're looking on their phone as well. So you get a lot of that going on. That's one of the main reasons.
Yeah, you're right, Mark, because I remember, I think it was about a month ago, I was talking to this guy who had his hand all wrapped up, you know, and I'm saying, well, gee, what happened to you? He says, oh, I ran into a pole. Oh, really? He says, yeah, and he said, I was texting and riding my bike.
Oh, no, bike and texting.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I've almost gotten hit by someone on their phone. You know, they're just looking one way and that's it.
I think what he was saying in the beginning, so being able to be dressed up to go and vote and everything like that, you know, like I wore my anonymous mask there and they were all looking at me like I was kind of different. I thought I was looking at them as being different myself.
So it wasn't Guy Fawkes Day.
So what people don't realize is no matter what you dress up with, you still have to have and hand over your ID. So when I handed over my ID, she handed me the ballot, and I signed it, and I handed it right back. You and I'm going, I don't think there's anyone to vote for.
Yeah, over here in Mississauga, we hadn't really nobody to vote for. All you had was the three main parties, the Green Party and the Marxist Party.
The Green Party has their own flaws, especially here in Hamilton. Like, I'm a guy who's going to come out and criticize them absolutely right now. During the time of them coming out here, the Green Party never brought out really anything that they were fighting for, especially for only the same things. Oh, water, oh, this, that, you know, like the regular stuff, you know, like, did you know this is going on? But nothing of them came out there and absolutely had plans and ideas for a better country of Canada for the federal election. None of them did. I have more plans and ideas than all of them put together here in Hamilton, Ontario. I want to assure you of it. And they, I'll give you an example. On Firecracker Day, they could have came out there, especially down here at Pier 4, Pier 8. A lot of people were there. You know, we had Canada Day where they could have came out there before this and tried to gain out more people. They had not only that on top of that, they had several other days here that they could have did it. You know, Festival of Friends we had here, Festival of Friends that were up in Dundas, Festival of Friends that, yeah, the Cactus that was in Dundas. There were so many places that they could have went there and got themselves known, but they figured the computer was all they needed. And that's where they lost their votes. That's where they lost their reputation. That's where they never got themselves out in time. And that's the Green Party's problem.
So, did anyone find out how did the Libertarian Party of Canada fare?
They weren't even on the list. I know about in Toronto. Maybe they have more out there in Toronto, but in Mississauga, no, they weren't even on the list.
All I remember is they had a bunch of social justice warriors infiltrate the party, it looked like, and then I don't know what happened to it ever since. Kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of the other parties and independents combined got less than 0.5%.
That's pretty bad. I figured the Libertarian Party of Canada would have gotten some, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping, but I went for Green anyway just to, you know, maybe I should have just put nothing on there and just put it in the ballot box.
Well, Quebec got a few more seats.
Or all.
Quebec
or all, yeah.
10 more seats. For some reason, how did Quebec get 10 more seats?
Ontario got a few too, I think. Because they redrew a bunch in downtown and parts of Toronto.
Well, I watched some of the...
they added 30 in total.
When I watched some of the debates here, like, I was just sitting there laughing at it. Like, you know, like... David Christopherson didn't even have any competition against him, not even for who the Green Party picked. He had nobody out there to even give him any type of competition.
Huh.
And this is where the whole problem comes in. And I find all the parties, this is a scam regardless of it. If you're real, you're not getting in. anybody real will not be able to get into any Ontario or federal, or even be able to start their own party doing it.
Yeah, they've made that pretty obvious with the last election, and even the NDP seems like they're done, too. It's only going to be Liberal and Conservative from now on, and you know, they'll just trade back and forth like the U.S. does.
You know, like, I think what main problem is that we had the Green Party come out here and the NDP party sort of trying to combine. You only have two seats there, Elizabeth May and some other characters. So there's really nothing to combine.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I was just sitting there saying, why would you want to combine, like, you know, like, and all the questions that the NDP came out with were really no fight for anything out there. And this is where the other problem comes in.
Yeah, as Rebel Media, I saw it pointed out that in Elizabeth May's riding, they're actually pumping some of their raw sewage untreated directly into the ocean.
Yeah, because that's the big controversy, because they're planning to do it in Montreal, too, now, in the St. Lawrence River.
They're planning on letting a bunch out from Montreal into the St. Lawrence River.
Actually, all of it, surprisingly. even though, according to the Green Party candidate out there, I saw the video, was saying that Montreal, like, they'd only really ever need to do one-third of it, even if they have to do this massive sewer thing they're doing. But the plan is to actually do all of it.
So,
just for fun, I guess.
You know, the Americans are on the other side of the St. Lawrence, and I'm going to advise you not to fish around that area, or swim, or, you know, don't go sea-doing or jet-skiing, you know, just before it freezes up. Don't do it. I'm telling you.
You'll end up with polio.
I don't know. You'll end up, like, jet-skiing through, you know, for a bunch of Montrealers poop.
Yeah, they include industrial waste and pharmaceutical waste. And
same thing here in Hamilton, Ontario. We got some sort of sewage problem coming in through our water right now also. So drink up, everyone.
Well, there's always been sewage treatment problems and problems with the sewage infrastructure, like the pipes and stuff, that, you know, never seem to get addressed, especially in old cities and towns. But now we're just saying, just dump it right into the lake. Just dump it straight into the river. Just dump it right into the ocean.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Toronto does it, but apparently they do a treatment before they dump it.
I bet this
is clean.
Yeah, because Lake Ontario is so clean. It's so clean, I won't even go. I wouldn't swim. I wouldn't swim in that lake.
Even if the beach has the right color code.
I was in a boat and it was sinking. Okay, then I'd swim. But other than that, I'm not.
That's the sewage color. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think it is. Don't they give it a green? As like green as the open beach? Red's the one you're not supposed to swim in.
Lake Erie is like Lake Toxic Algae. Toxic algae bloom. You want to go swimming? Open your eyes and keep your mouth shut. And you'll just get itchy.
Chlorine water is better for you. You can go to I guess, your nearest recreational center and have cleaner water. And it's all chlorine. It'll burn your eyes, but at least you'll live.
We could clean Lake Erie by just dumping a bunch of bleach in there, but it would probably kill all the fish.
It's
clean. Oh, be gone. Turn into a swimming pool.
And that goes along with pictures I've seen on the internet of different lakes forming from runoffs of dead animals from, you know, these factory farms and that. They let all the, you know, the dead feces and everything else run, you know, just to the, you know, onto the ground, and then it forms into these lakes of a horrible color.
Look,
and that's just part of it as well. So
I got a two-step plan to clean up the Great Lakes on the Canadian side.
Uh-oh.
All the pollution and all the sludge, we slush it over to the U.S. side, and then we build our wall across the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence. And then we stop polluting them on our side, and there we go.
Well, this is where if we created our own fishing ponds, which was a great idea by our bro here, like, you know, we came up with this a while ago, but when we create our own fishing ponds to save fish for ourselves to eat here in Canada, and we have the room to do it and the water to do it, there's nothing stopping us from having our own fish farms. Because from what I've seen back in 2040 coming up, and by 42, we'll have no more ocean fish or anything around the world.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And I think that, you know, Canada should seriously think about doing that while we have all this opportunity. And we would still be the only fish import coming out in years to come. Do it now or pay later.
I hope the Queen is listening.
It'd be better to invest in that kind of industry rather than pay the East Coast fishermen to sit there and not fish. And that's what we've done for a long time now, many, many years. We have paid and subsidized. The government said they can't fish, so they've compensated them. Not all of them. Some of them have been compensated. The money would have been better spent by allowing them to fish, but maybe investing in fish farming and encouraging maybe some of these fishermen to get to look into that avenue, because then you have an endless supply of product. But there's definitely problems with fish farming. There's those that say, oh, it can't be done. Or, you know, the fish you get from it are junk fish, there's many will claim. So, I mean, I think it depends on how it's done and what you're feeding the fish. And
well, it would be no different than having your own fish tank. As soon as you have a system going through it and everything, like, you know, like just like they do for the pools or anything like that, I'm sure it wouldn't take all that much to really do it.
But, I mean, do you really need a tank? I mean, could you not just use the entirety of say, Hudson Bay, James Bay? You know, you could have a saltwater fish farm just in Hudson Bay there. Look out for polar bears.
Or even freshwater. Like, you know, like I'm just saying, like, we have the land and we have the, you know, the time to do it, but the sea captain winner, Justin Trudeau, come out there to absolutely want to sit there and go, hey, we could use this and make it to our advantage later on.
Well, instead, the provincial government, the Liberal provincial government in Ontario, which is, Ontario is much bigger than Texas, and they've chopped off the top third of Ontario and said, you can't do anything here. You can't mine, you can't do forestry, you can't do anything there, basically. There's no new projects that are allowed to go on because they just chopped it off and drew an imaginary line, and there you go. And that's all part of UN Agenda 21 sustainability nonsense. So, I mean, and that's part of Hudson Bay there on the northern part of Ontario. And we could use Hudson Bay as a giant fish farm. And you don't even need to use nets.
Well, this is the whole issue, but if we don't come up with something soon and plan for the future, and this is all our government is. So all you guys out there thinking Justin Trudeau is going to come in there, marijuana is legal right now, you're all sadly mistaken. He doesn't even have his first meeting until January. You know, like he just got sworn in on the 4th, and everybody's going, this is happening. I've only seen him speak of one thing so far, and that's it.
And he only got elected for two reasons, right? It's for his father's legacy and the marijuana law.
Well, let's go back to Mark Every there. When Mark Every came out and said that there'd be a million voters coming out here, extra voting, and next thing you know, 2 million voters. Did that come from him, or really just refugees and people just being walk in there and go, okay, here's my address, I'm allowed to vote and not even be a citizen?
Well, it's a bit of a joke when you can just, people can put on a mask that covers their entire face and not have to take it off, and they go vote totally masked. But also, it's the same, it's just the same as it's a joke when you have this electronic voting.
Mm.
I mean, where's the honesty in that? There is none. So, you know, people think they're ridiculous.
Yeah, but you can vote as many times as you want.
Well, here's the situation here. I said to my buddy, I go, what I'm going to do on the computer is vote my name, and I'm going to make up a name. I go, let's go Jessup Mars Qatar, for an example, born 1968, you know, 20th of July. Give out that information. My mom and dad were this, my mom and dad were that. Make up a 9-digital SIN number. And vote, do it again, and vote, and they're going, oh, no, 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 they can stop that. And how can they stop it when you don't even need a picture?
Yeah, all you need is a mask. Go vote. Ontario election, or the Canadian elections, it's great. Federal, provincial, it doesn't matter. Put on your mask, it's voting time.
Well, here's another thing, and you know, like he brought this up the other day. if you go to a rally and you wear a mask, you will get over 2 years. It's a federal offense. But if you go beat up a cop, you'll get no more than a year in jail. That makes a lot of sense.
So if you wear a mask at a protest, like say one of these Guy Fawkes masks, they made it like, you know, you could be charged with it. With a pretty, I can't remember what the crime is, but there was a bill. You guys remember it, right? No more massive protests in Canada.
Sure.
Anyways, but you can vote with a mask on. So I don't understand what the deal is. No protest masks, but you can vote with a mask. You like they may ask you for your ID, which they will, and you could show up any ID. But you don't have to take off your mask to verify that you are the person on that ID.
But as long as you're there physically, if they see somebody in front of them, yeah, you can vote.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
As long as you're there physically.
What really kills me the most? That computer vote, they said, how, when you just wear a mask, how, and you can just change your name in so many different ways and be able to vote and vote and vote and vote.
Yeah, and it's the same with online voting. Or, the electronic voting, there's no honesty in it. And if it even matters, that's saying if it mattered, because whether it was liberals or conservatives or NDP, we're still going down the same road to globalist hell. And
I should just say, my name is Mark, and I'm here to vote, and that's it. Why should I show ID? I'm telling you who I am.
See, the system is telling you how much it doesn't matter. They're like saying it doesn't matter. Wear a mask. Show us your ID. Don't show us your ID. Doesn't matter.
Just vote, everybody.
Everybody. And then Justin said that if he gets elected, that he was going to have us mandatory voting. So now everyone's got to vote or possibly get fined. We'll see if this if you actually.
There was another announcement too. They said they're going to bring back the long form census, and that there could be penalties for not filling out the census.
So he wants our private data, all our data to sell, or what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, they'll need the demographics. They're just—they're probably just looking for votes.
Like I said, the census that comes around here every year, and there are many people from different countries here, and they have six or seven or more people in the one unit, and I'm sure they don't tell how many people are living there. They don't put it down.
No, but they all collect our Canada pension, our old age pension, our Ontario works, and everything else there, though. And most people, how many of them are really refugees?
Yeah.
And how many of them get a place before all of us because they're considered emergency?
Yeah, sure.
This is where our system is really baked, you know, and I can't figure out what they're doing with it, but I know one thing. If you're a foreigner, you have more rights than a Canadian citizen here today. You're given grants quicker just to come here. You know, you're given not only grants, you're given guaranteed this. And I believe it's Canada pension or old age pension, one of them. But if you're from another country and you come here and you're 64 and you're turning 65, you receive almost double the amount that is a citizen here that has worked all their life to get, and they get double. Just by coming here.
It's a bunch of old senior citizens in third world countries going, oh, we're moving to Canada. We heard they got a good pension plan. And it's a good pension plan, but it's better than what they got, so why not? If they can get it.
Well, they have a plan, too. It's called dodging bombs.
Mm-hmm. We can wear a mask.
That was the new finance minister that got sworn in this week, too. They mentioned that he's some Toronto banker that had worked for some kind of big pension company, I think.
Oh.
New finance minister.
Pension Ponzi scheme thing going on, or what's going on with that?
I think the minister is really interesting.
That's what he's talking about, the new defense minister.
Have you seen this, Zeke? Isn't this guy incredible? It was like Justin Trudeau went over. He rubbed a genie and out jumped Taboo. And Taboo jumps out there, and next thing you know, He's going to stop people from coming to Canada from his country just by looking at him. I can tell. I know that this guy will stop people from his country coming to Canada. You know, we
got. I'm not sure it'll stop the war, though, because you see how they just make all the notice about how he's like a war hero, I guess they call him.
Canada's new defense minister, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
Well, you know, like, I guess during the day he's that, and then at nighttime he turns into Shazam.
Arabian Nights. Arabian Nights. That's what I have to say about that, boys.
Well, there's three Sikhs in cabinet. That's what they're saying Justin Trudeau has got. And they were even saying this before the election, because remember one of the candidates he got is part of a controversial organization?
I wonder if they're part of the Sikh Fight Club. Have you heard of that? It's like when the Sikhs, they had that giant sword fight.
No, that sounds hardcore.
Goes on at Sikh Fight Club, stays at Sikh Fight Club. So we.
Oh, no. Because I know they have the daggers as part of their religion or culture, I guess.
Yeah, that was a big issue a few years ago.
Well, what kills me is we have all these refugees now. I was just reading about this, and it says that we are only going to get 25,000 refugees coming from, I guess, Germany, but I can tell you it's from Syria. And I felt so special about all this, you know, like...
By the end of the year.
Well, keep your thoughts in your head there. We'll be back right after this commercial.
Angry Beaver Radio. Watch the band. They're a bunch of dancers. Quickly.
Follow the unknown. Attention. Attention. Do not attempt to adjust your radio. We are in control of it. It is no surprise to anyone listening to this broadcast that the alternative media has been controlled by corporate opportunists for the last decade. The truth you are seeking cannot be found with people who have agreed to use their talk network as a flea market. The mission to wake up humanity is far more important than the profits they hope to gain by diluting your consciousness. As such, you are tasked with shifting the paradigm, and sending the message that the minds of independent thinkers like you, can no longer be controlled. TFR is the only 100% listener-supported station, and the last beacon of unadulterated truth. You too, can become part of this media revolution, by becoming a TFR supporter today to ensure the truth continues to prevail over corporate greed. Together, we are, your protection from deception.
We are engaged in an information war.
We cannot be effective at major economic matters any longer unless we work with our other economic partners around the world and work with them closely and intimately. That is essential. I know some people don't like it. It's a loss of national sovereignty, but it is a simple reality. It is a simple reality.
Broadcasting worldwide from globalist-occupied Mother Kanatistan, it's Angry Beaver Radio, live Saturday 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, only here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China, because their basic dictatorship.
He talked about admiring a dictatorship.
Portal to Ascension is bringing forth groundbreaking information and awareness from the world's top visionaries, scientists, speakers, authors, doctors, and spiritual leaders that are assisting humanity in unlocking their true consciousness. We explore and pioneer cutting-edge information from globally renowned leaders on conscious topics through our integrated multimedia platform for online and live events. These events are designed to empower and increase awareness for all of humanity, so we may collectively shift into a paradigm based on unity, transparency, and truth. We explore explore a wide variety of consciousness relating to self-empowerment, sacred sound and vibration, UFO disclosure, ET awareness, true ancient history, quantum mechanics, metaphysics, conscious living, and spirituality. Our online platform is designed to assist you in expanding and awakening your consciousness. The Portal to Ascension website can take you front row seat live to the educators, teachers, and wisdom keepers themselves. Log on now to www.portaltoascension.com.
The Liam Sheff Show, Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said, welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we roll. Ask around and they all know tricky.
Hello, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. And anyways, guys, I don't know what you want to get into now for this second segment.
Yeah, I was just reading about Barack Obama, the U.S. president. He's not for the Keystone Pipeline.
Oh, right. Well, we've heard about this for years. It's been going on. They're going to build the Keystone Pipeline. They're not going to do it. Yes, they're going to do it. They've come to an agreement. No, we're not going to do it now. We're backing out. And then it's like just over and over and back and forth. And like I've said, since oil's been $50 a barrel, lower, now it's around, what, $44 a barrel, something like this?
Right.
It's at $44.29 or something yesterday. So it's, you know, it costs more than that, or costs around that, to get it out of the ground at the tar sands, which is what they're going to use that pipeline for. So, you know, they'll blame the Keystone Pipeline deal. They'll blame that. They'll blame the NDP provincial government. But the reality is, as long as you got OPEC and the Saudis manipulating this price of oil, we're not going to be sending it anywhere by truck or by pipeline.
Then we might as well use it ourselves.
Well, this is what the whole thing is, and why don't we? You know, we were rather in for it. And, you know, like if Justin Trudeau wants to raise taxes, here's a great start, you know, for corporations and stuff like that, since they're always talking about it. Why don't you raise imports coming into Canada? That would be a great start for a tax. He's always talking about going, oh, I want to do this for taxes. Let's start there and watch how many more businesses start.
Well, they're also spending, it's not just money, they're also spending a lot of lives, too, in the wars overseas. When you see they're for oil and stuff, at least the one in Iraq and probably this one on ISIS, too. It's got to do with an oil gas pipeline. And even the one in Ukraine, like they're spending millions of dollars just arming up the Ukraine regime that's in now to attack the fewer of the provinces there.
We have enough resources here to come out here to make other ideas and plans for Canada besides using oil and gas anyways. We should have years ago just been just a seller right off the hop. You know, instead of having all these imports, let's make sure that we have more outports than imports. And if we would have been selling this from the beginning, we would have been a richer country like we should be. But then again, we know it's all propaganda, and, you know, here comes all the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, knowing them, what they'll probably do is end up, you know, taking all that infrastructure and, you know, taking it all out and then burying the whole infrastructure hole up instead of using it. They'll probably just take everything out and then just put all the dirt back.
Well, here in Hamilton, we have Stelco going on, the same nonsense here. Now, all of a sudden, they lost the pension plan. Now they're going to lose this. This is going to happen, I said, after the election, that they're going to go bankruptcy pretty soon coming up. What will happen is that they'll sell it to China or somewhere like that. Then all of a sudden, 9 months later, they're not going to be able to pay that bill neither, so they're going to just absolutely claim bankruptcy. They're going to tear it all down and put high-rises there. But, you know, like when you lose a plant like that and it creates all of Hamilton and it's about jobs, I think my plan and idea is still to turn it in, the 32,000 square feet, into a seven-story building. So medical marijuana, since Justin's come in, it's supposed to be a big deal. And why not do this? I've already stated, at least it'll create something than losing. But just to put high-rises there and have more millions of people come here that we can't already afford to have doesn't make sense.
That way you have enough room for those refugees coming over.
Well, like I said, you know, like to me, there's no women, there's no children. All they're doing is bringing over people from 20 to 25, to me, which are just little army soldier guys that's ready to do whatever they want to do over there. And I don't understand what they're seeing. And when you go over there and you destroy country, the last thing you want to do is bring millions of people here that are not women and children along with that. That doesn't make sense. At least when you come over from India, Pakistan, you come over from wherever country you want to make it, Russia, wherever you want, they bring their family, they bring their children. At least they bring somebody, but these guys are bringing themselves, and there's a reason for it.
Well, we'll see what Mr. Trudeau ends up doing now that he's been sworn in on the marijuana issue, but I don't expect much of anything.
And on the refugee issue, the guy that got sworn in as the Minister for Refugees and Immigration and Citizenship was the guy that had been the Minister of Finance under Paul Martin, Rick McCallum. The old banker.
Beastly more at night.
I think he was Royal Bank.
This is just special when you mention Paul Martin. Like, this guy is just unbelievable. He's a billionaire today, though. I give him that.
Ah.
You know, like, he was the one, he said that the preservatives started it, but he was the one who signed the bill. I believe it's 457 or 545. For them to borrow from private banks, and ever since then, like, you know, like, we've just been, you know, kicked right in the forehead.
I wonder if his shipping business, if he's got any oil tankers, because they have to bring it over from overseas somehow.
Well, it's $2 billion, it's worth $2 billion and more today, so, you know, and who helped him do all this, you know? I don't know if you guys ever heard of Power Corp before.
So the new cabinet is, of Justin's cabinet is made up of a bunch of old Paul Martin and Kretchen people?
Yeah, a bunch of them. Well, remember Stéphane Dion, who had been the leader, who was he was trying to get the carbon tax in. Remember that election? And Harper won that one because nobody wants a carbon tax.
I remember Stéphane.
He's the Minister of Foreign Affairs, so he's like the equivalent to Secretary of State in the U.S. Stéphane Dion. My voice, Stefan.
Out with the old and in with the old, right?
Well, the most interesting part of the swearing in of the oath is how much of it is dedicated to the Queen. And, you know, it's really the one time that they actually admit that the head of state or, like, the one that controls the government is the Queen. And then in the oath that all these members of what they call the Privy Council have to do, which is the council the Queen advises to what to do to Canada, is basically they swear an oath of secrecy so that Canadians can't know what's going on in Privy Council. So.
Right, so they have to swear an oath to lie to don't tell the public any of this stuff.
Yeah, all the ministers. And then I guess all the prime ministers that are still alive are also on the council. So Harper's still on the council, too.
Well, that's just special. You know, I was reading up just about 3 hours ago before I came over, and Alex Jones says that there's a government mafia. Now, that terrifies me. You know, like, I am terrified of this government mafia. The last thing I want to do is see a person like Catherine Wynne show up in my house naked, leave Canada, right away. These are terrible mobsters that they'll bring to your house.
Yeah.
Oh, Orville Redenbacher.
Well, it's also warning to California. You see, Wynne took out a trip there last week. She's out in California.
Well, the notorious, you're talking about the notorious Orville Redenbacher, a.k.a. Kathleen Wynne, a.k.a. Kim Jong-un, Emperor.
Yeah, the Premier of Ontario. She even met up with the governor out there.
Ooh.
I guess they're probably working on a carbon tax out there, too.
Well, you know, you could tell it was her coming back because you just seen the cam trail following her all the way back to Canada. So this way we know who she is and no one would bother her.
She's leaving a trail. Blazing trails here.
But anyways, I guess I was talking to the guy from Club 54, and I think I'm going to go there and maybe do some potty talk.
Oh, nice.
And I got a couple of them I've done, you know, like, as a matter of fact, we had that one seat come out there and said that women who wear blue jeans create earthquakes.
Yeah, wasn't that when the Canadians, they caused some kind of earthquake overseas?
Yeah, because they wore blue jeans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And they're doing some kind of naked selfies, too, weren't they, or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one special thing to have out there for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, Matt, that's a message to the Japanese. You know, just look at Fukushima and the tsunami and all that, the big earthquake. You might want to check your blue jean privilege and just chuck it out the window.
Wait, it says Levi's. You're really in trouble because they're worth more.
There's a dress code. Dress code in effect.
Androgynous dress code in effect.
Surprisingly, Donald Trump a few weeks ago endorsed the burqa. He did it sort of as a joke, but he said he would wear one if he was a woman, and he thinks it's a great just throw on a face cover.
The full ninja.
Yeah.
Who is it? I thought her was listening to Louder with Crowder. He's talking about it's a full ninja. It's like Shinobi. I don't know. You ever played the old Sega game? It was like a ninja character, I think, called Shinobi. And I swear that's what it is. It's Shinobi. Go on voting. Voted die. And what's up with P. Diddy? Did you hear about P. Diddy?
Yeah, didn't he? He now rejects voting, does he?
Yeah. He's like, he used to be Mr. Vote or die. The whole vote or die campaign. And now, I guess he says it's all a scam or something. Folks can look up this story about P. Diddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy Diddy. Sean Puffy, Viva.
Yeah, because he was one of the guys that went hard for Obama, probably, and then maybe Obama raised the taxes on him or something. And he said.
Well, you know, since Justin got sworn in, and of course, you know, he's got his mother figure, Catherine Wynne, there now, and I guess they want to come out there and have people tested for marijuana, all the people in Ontario Works.
Ah, Ontario Works, huh?
Oh, Ontario.
She's later. Starting with Ontario employees, I guess, first.
Yeah, mandatory drug testing for Ontario.
But not them. They don't do it. Well, that's the thing.
Like, you know, like, I don't think they see my video, Rockford at Tim Hortons, where I'm crawling on the ground looking for crack pieces, I guess. You know, and when I ran for mayor, I said that, you know, like, they should be mandatory to take a drug test because they represent our country, like our athletes and everything like that. And, of course, you never heard of any more of that. They would never want to see that our city elected officials, our MPs, take a drug test in.
So if they want to drug test people on welfare, Ontario plans mandatory drug tests for people on welfare. What they should also do is have mandatory drug tests for elected officials and also appointed officials. And I'm not talking about, like, the city garbage man. I don't care about that. I'm just talking about the politicians. So have them all drug tested. And I'm not talking yearly. I'm not talking monthly or weekly. Daily. I want every urine every time a politician takes a pee, it should be against the law for it to even hit a toilet. It's got to go into the cup, be sent off for testing. Because you can get those, you know, those detox drinks or whatever down at the bong shop, probably, right? So we don't want any cheaters out there. So we got to test their urine every single day, every single time. Every time they urinate, basically.
Well, so, now that marijuana is illegal, like, what is they going to do with that? Like, you know, like, are they going to sit there and go, oh, you smoke marijuana, you're no longer on the system, but meanwhile, you can buy it? I don't think they really know what they're doing. They have people going to meth clinics. They have people going over here and doing all these drugs and going, you have to be tested for the drugs we give you.
No, they are, yeah. They want, well, they got to make sure that only on the drugs that they got to make only on the drugs they told you to go on and no others. So you're right. There is drug testing and for people on welfare already, and it's for, you know, they got them, say they got them on some methadone or morphine or some other opium derivative or something. So, yeah, and that's what it'll be. And that's the thing. It won't be that people on welfare won't be allowed to have drugs. They just won't be allowed to have the street drugs. If you need drugs, you go to daddy government and get it from the pharmacist. And they'll hook you up with some time-release perks that, you know.
And even GMO seeds, if you would like it.
Enough to knock out an elephant.
Oh, yeah.
Vinsky will be against that for sure. You know, like, Jurevinsky here, I think, has 7 parts of 7 different hospitals and stuff, you know. I guess there's a new plan coming out now that I came up with, and that was an elevator going all the way down from the Henderson Hospital down to there. So now they have a guy who came up with this idea and plan for that. I can't wait to meet him and ask some questions on that. I'd like to know more about that situation, about that, and how they came up with the ideas of solar panels and stuff there. That is going to be pretty comical to listen to. If I can get in a meeting, I've been kind of like, you know, when I go to meetings and stuff like that, I've been kind of just, you're not allowed here, sir. You can't even ask a question. I guess I have a charm. You know what I'd like to do, guys? Like, you know, I was, maybe if you could maybe talk to the guy who owns the show, is maybe on a Friday during the day, like, you know, from like 1 to 3, and what we'll do is call all different city halls, and I'll ask them all a bunch of questions about how they got in there and what makes them think that they're all better and everything like that, and absolutely have them tell you what they think. That would be a really great idea to do for the show, I think. I would love to give Scott Duvall a call the first. I know a lot of people don't understand it, but how this guy first got in his position, Scott Duvall got in there because the one guy resigned out of Ward 8 at the time. So what happened was that Scott Duvall was under Terry Whitehead of Ward 7. So Sam Arula, Tom Collins, all those guys who have been in there for more times than they could ever count, even though they go, we want amalgamation. They signed it, I believe, 12 years ago, and they're still there today. But anyways, and I guess what happened out of it all, Scott Duvall ended up getting voted in. So after Scott Duvall gets voted in, he gets re-voted in. So now, all of a sudden, we have a Hydro One coming in, and now Hamilton, Ontario has become a pyramid for Hydro. Now, we're going to sell over to Brampton and make more money off of Brampton. So we're going to help bankruptcy Ontario cities, Hamilton, by funding them Hydro, instead of us all paying the same amount now that we're a pyramid. So Scott Duvall goes in there and signs this pyramid just not even 5 days ago. All of a sudden wins his election for the NDP and come in there and go, I'm so against the Liberal Party, but I signed for us to become a pyramid in Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, I don't see how it's any benefit to become a Hydro pyramid scheme and have one Ontario, Canada, Ontario city gouging another Ontario, Canada city for Hydro. Yeah, I mean, it benefit the one city, but while gouging the other, I don't know. Is it good? Is it bad? I don't know.
What?
But Brampton, here's the thing. Brampton could always just say, well, we're just going to build our own some extra generators in Brampton and supply it ourselves. So
with the sellout of Hydro One here, though, in Ontario coming out, and there's no going to stop it. Like, Andrew Horvath can complain all she wants, but it's not going to make a difference because they have a majority vote. You can wham, 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 but it's not going to happen. And the thing is that no matter what they do, it started before with the Hydro and when it would become a pyramid. It started with gas pyramids. And so now we're selling gas and making this city more money. We're selling this and making this city more money. And the only city in the end that is going to gain out of it is the biggest city in Ontario, which is Toronto, which has a population more than all the cities combined together, has a higher population in, and they're going to have all the control and all the say. And this is where our main problem comes in.
Yeah, well, and also the bankers, because they put like one-third of the shares already went on sale this week. And the price went up, so some investors made something.
Well, to the Canadian people, when you have a guy like Justin Trudeau coming out there and telling you that the deficit will take care of itself, and he hangs out with private bankers, I think we're going to understand about that coming up.
Exactly.
You know, and people are not really following politics, you know. Most of the people just vote for the party. They don't even know who the person is, and they're going, oh, no, they're behind this person, I'm going to vote. Like, how does Bob Bertini get in there? Our ex-mayor here in Hamilton, Ontario, they seen what he did as he was a mayor, so they go and vote him in. And I don't understand all that shenanigans.
On Liberals?
Yeah. Him in, and they knew that he didn't find the bus drivers adequate. The only person you want to give a raise to was secretary for some reason. I figure it was like a Monica Lewinsky case. But when I see all that stupidity happening here, and just watching everything that he did, which was nothing here, he goes, we didn't have to pay for the stadium here in Hamilton, Ontario, the new Tim Hortons Stadium. Well, no, the federal government did, which is still the people of Canada. And he's bragging about this because he talked the federal government in the fork in the bill.
It's the corporate welfare stadium, sports stadium, you know.
Oh, yeah, like that's just brutal. And this guy's going to be coming out there and now running for the federal. And to have this guy run for mayor making $109,000, now his bonus pay goes up to $248,000 a year. If you thought he was bad before, what do you get a load of him here? And he's got Catherine Wynne and Justin Trudeau going, oh, you know how to scam? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, apparently there was a New Zealand politician who was running for election. They came in, they had an intro music. It was from 8 Mile, and like an Eminem song. And so Eminem apparently had some beef with it, right? And that's just the whole thing. They're all doing that in the States, New Zealand. You got Canada's doing it. They all got intro songs now, like they're friggin' wrestlers entering a ring. Like President Kumon Show or something. It's absurd. What the hell is this? WWE wrestling?
Well, you got to give Vince credit, you know. Like, I think he's going to bring them all in sooner or later. Like, that would be great, you know. Like, we could have Larry D'Anni come in there as the gorilla. The guy's so big. This guy is so big, his favorite building to climb here on the outside is Century 21, and all you see is them going up and down like a gorilla. And I'll tell you something. Well, what happened here in the last before that, we had Bernie Morelli here, who was sick for over 2 years at Sam Marula having that vote. And just to let them know that, as of the 4th of November, they only have 6 weeks to pick somebody for Scott Duvall to take his spot. Now, I figure Larry D'Anni, they're going to pick a guy like that, or maybe Bob Morrill, somebody that was there before. And to be honest, I would do it too. I would go in there for that free check and a free citizen credit card that pays for it all. And if you guys need someone that badly, I'm right here. I won't mind taking that money.
Well, that's what they do in power. They just want to take the money, and they just set the rules as they are given to them. So it's all scripted, and then it all comes from the top. It all comes from abroad, and that's it. They're all just basically puppets. That's why they don't do anything, because they have no power.
Well, they do have power. They're just too busy worrying about their power like Catherine Wynne does, and that's her pocket. Catherine, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I'd like to see her new mansion.
Because
that money's got to be going somewhere.
So what's the deal with Justin? Justin can't move in to the
Avenue until renovations complete.
He's got, he needs some renovations, but he has found a temporary living in the cottage of the Governor General. So it's just another metaphor of who really runs Canada, is the Governor General representing the Queen. Must be a pretty big cottage, though.
And, you know, like he's pretty well in tight with a couple of the private bankers there that, you know, like I figure he'd just be at the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, or the Aga Khan Center. That's one Toronto Council this week exempted from taxes, the Aga Khan Center.
So there, I've heard numbers as high as $150 million for the cost of renovations on Sussex.
That's why they should just demolish it and build a new one. You'd think a new one would be less than $150 million.
Yeah, it must be in pretty rough shape there.
Yeah, like they could just build them like maybe a $2 million mansion or something. Tear this one down. Spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a repair.
When his father was in as prime minister, he demanded a pool. And then even he didn't feel, you know, he felt guilty enough to raise the money for the pool from private donors. Even though it's still cheesy. It's not like you're raising money for blind children or people with AIDS. You're raising money. I need a pool in the backyard because I'm too cheap to buy it myself. So at least his dad didn't make the taxpayers do it. It was a voluntary basis. But, you know, Justin, different story. He's entitled. He inherited this prime ministership from his father. And he's entitled. He's entitled to a $150 million renovation on the mansion. It's ridiculous. What? How about Justin goes and stays in one of those micro homes?
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire.
Anyway, we'll be break coming up right here. And we'll be right back.
And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the planned problem?
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. But we was inside.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like Strange World with Mark Sargent, Jaronism Raw with Jaron and Mizza, Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo, The Kev Baker Show, X-Squared with Brooks Agnew, Freaky Friday with The Woo Crew, Perceptions Talk Radio with Jonathan, The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph, Phoenix Rising Radio, and dozens more. Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
More than a dozen astronauts have officially reported UFOs. UFOs. Hundreds of hours of UFO footage were filmed by astronauts aboard the space shuttle. Many of these UFOs can only be seen in ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light. Retired former Apollo astronauts and cosmonauts now tell their stories of their own personal UFO encounters.
We have an unidentified flying object.
The Enigma Channel, intelligent television for planet Earth. EnigmaTV.com.
Coral Bay Domain is an exclusive community for people with an environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. It will be the Caribbean's first totally green and off-the-grid residential development. This development showcases doing more with less and energy freedom. The community is located in Coral Bay on the island of St. John in the Virgin Islands. It will consist of 16 residential units in 8 duplexes. Each unit is a geodesic dome with electricity supplied by a vertical wind generator for each unit and a shared solar array. Please visit www.domain-llc.com for more information.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR.
Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. And check out the Truth Frequency Radio Facebook page. You can like and follow. I believe you can listen right from there if you wanted to. So, guys, we're in the second half. What do you guys want to bring up?
I just put up the Obama's rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline. He said it basically wouldn't, it says over environmental concerns, so it wouldn't be in the interest of the United States, so he rejected it. That's what he did.
He might know, though, that he's on the way out and that somebody like Mark Rubio or Donald Trump would allow it.
Obama basically announced the decision in the White House Oval Office on Friday morning, flanked by President Joe Biden and Secretary of State John Kerry. This morning, Secretary Kerry informed me that after an extensive public outreach and consultation with other cabinet agencies, the State Department has decided that the XL Keystone Pipeline would not serve the national interests of the United States. I agree with that decision, Obama said. For years, the Keystone Pipeline has occupied what I frankly consider an overinflated role in our political discourse. It became a symbol too often used as a companion tittle by both parties rather than a serious policy matter, Obama said. And all of this obscured the fact that this pipeline would neither be a silver bullet for the economy, as was promised by some, nor the express lane to climate disaster proclaimed by others. The pipeline would have moved as many as 830,000 barrels of oil a day over 1,700 miles from the oil sands of Western Canada through 6 U.S. states to Steel City, Nebraska, where it would have linked with the existing infrastructure to bring the oil to refineries on the Gulf Coast. Obama outlined 3 main reasons the State Department chose to reject the project. The pipeline would not make a meaningful long-term contribution to our economy. So if Congress is serious about creating jobs, this would not be the way to do it, the president said. He called on lawmakers to pass a bipartisan infrastructure plan instead, noting that such a bill would create more than 30 times as many jobs per year as the pipeline would, and that it would have a bigger long-term impact as well. The pipeline would not lower gas prices for American customers or consumers. In fact, the gas prices have already been falling, he added, noting that the cost per gallon has dropped 77 cents over a year ago. A dollar over 2 years ago was $1.27 over 3 years ago. Today, in 41 states, drivers can fill at least one gas station selling gas for less than $2 a gallon. And the president added that he had set a goal 3 years ago to cut U.S. oil imports in half by 2020. But that country met that goal in 2014, well ahead of schedule. He also called on the U.S. to further reduce its reliance on fossil fuels, making projects such as Keystone XL pipeline less necessary. On Tuesday, TransCanada asked the U.S. to pause its review on the project, which the State Department had already halted once in 2014. TransCanada believes that it would be appropriate at this time for the State Department to pause in its review of the presidential permit application for Keystone XL. Christine Delkus, TransCanada Executive Vice President, said in a letter to the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry. However, the government formally declined that request on Wednesday. We told the TransCanada that the review process will continue, State Department spokesman John Kirby said. There is no legal requirement to do that. A lot of interagency work has done to date, including interagency review and coordination, as well as a significant review of and coordination here, he added. The secretary believes that it is most appropriate to keep that process in place. So there you go. You know that now they don't want it now, basically. So I don't know what's going to happen when the next president comes in, whether he's going to revive that or is he just going to reject it as well. Who knows? We'll have to see when that time comes.
Yeah, but the lower gas prices are good for us, but some people mentioned it's not really good for Canada. I don't know. Or even it might be an attack on Russia, you know, and it's affecting their, I don't know, imports or exports. So I'm not sure what's going on, what's the reason for it. But usually here in Canada, the price goes up all the time. I think it was almost near $1.30 a gallon here. So we'll see what happens. I'm not sure. It's been very, very low. I can't really remember the last time it was under a dollar a gallon. So
yeah, it did. I'd say like 95 for the liter and stuff of that, or even lower, depending on where it is. Remember a number of years ago, we used to have that sort of gas wars and stuff like that. Everybody would be checking out different stations to see who's got the lowest price, and you had lineups all over the place and the stuff like that. You don't see that anymore.
No. So there's got to be a purpose for keeping the gas prices low. Either the U.S. or another country has full control over all the gas pipelines now, and then they can just set it low now, so I'm not sure.
Guys, do you think it's because of the conservatives not getting in that you need a key?
Yeah, that's another possibility.
Well, you know, Stephen Harper was the type of guy that was all over for the United States, and I don't think Trudeau's going to be as much like Stephen Harper was.
No, it was Obama that rejected it.
No, I know that it was Obama rejected it.
Yeah, so I don't think it was...
But when he rejected it, it was still after the election.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, When Stephen Harper was in there and everything like that, I think it was a little different because they were all for it just that time ago. And all of a sudden now you see the Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau coming in there.
Well, I mean, the Obama administration was pushing against XL Pipeline the entire time. So it doesn't surprise.
Well, I guess if there's really nothing in it for them, then why would they want to do it?
Well, because they know that oil prices are artificially low, so...
oil prices are this artificially low for this long, and the oil sands will shut down anyway, so you have no need to ship it anywhere. If it's $45 a barrel, and if it costs you $45 a barrel to get it out of the ground, you don't have a job.
Exactly. How are you going to pay your employees?
So they'd rather buy cheap oil from Saudi Arabia than use our own oil. And that's including the United States. Much of the United States production is shutting down. It was booming for a bit while oil prices were high. Oil price dropped to 50 or below, and that's not enough money for us to produce it over here. It costs us that to produce it. So they just shut down. Now we're back to buying oil from a bunch of terrorists.
Well, cars are not free. So, you have to charge high prices for oil. So if you didn't have any cars on the road, the oil would be free for anybody to use for whatever purpose. But it has to be used for something.
There'd be more e-bikes on the road then.
Well, how about this electric cars, period? Canada has the opportunity of this going everything, solar panel through all of our city. Use it all through our city and just sit there and say, we don't even need gas or oil. Anything that we really wanted to do to turn into everything like that.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is that the factories that make the solar panels or the windmills do not run on solar power or wind power. They're hooked into the grid because it's a factory and they need a mass amount of power. And that's the problem with that type of power. It's intermittent and it doesn't produce a vast amount of power all at once.
Well, depending on the sun, I guess, right? Isn't that how it used to
be? Yeah, you need batteries. I mean, it's inefficient.
Well, since I've seen some solar panels out there and I had it on my Facebook there, I was checking out some of it, but, for an example, if we turn it all into that way, we'd still be able to sell off for endorsements, to all these other places, corporations and stuff, that have their names on there and everything like that. They already show them on Channel 12 News. All the corporations that are across comes on the bottom of Channel 12 News now. That's how big they become.
My point is that the amount of electricity we use here in Canada through our harsh winters, cold winters, and then the hot summers where we are, it's pretty bloody hot and humid. You need an air conditioner. Everyone's basically got air conditioners running, and in the winter, they got their heat going like crazy. The amount of energy we need cannot be, we can't feasibly do it with solar panels and windmills alone. You can put up a crap load and maybe you'll get 10% of it, and it's going to be on and off and finicky depending on the wind and how much sun you're getting, and you always lose some by having to store it in batteries or some type of storage system. And so you need, unfortunately, people don't want to admit that. It's just that currently we're dependent on massive power stations that use gas or nuclear or water for hydroelectricity that produce vast amounts of power. And we had coal, but then they started knocking them down, which increased the price of power. That's all that did.
Well, I believe the difference of the cost would be, for an example, for a nuclear power plant, the cost would be, I believe, $15 billion. But for the other way, it would be only $6 to go solar-wise. I believe they have a lot of different new panels out here that make a big difference out here that I've studied on. And I think it could be a different way to go. But even if still, it would be great for a backup. It'd be great for a backup for sure, all of a sudden we lose all of our hydro, at least we have something here. They should look at it as a backup plan at least, anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of just, all of a sudden if that goes down, we had a blackout here 2 years ago that lasted over 24 hours, but if we had that as a backup till that gets built up, we would still be no food loss, no nothing loss. So, you know, I'm looking at it as a even a backup plan instead of a full-out plan, but, you know, it would be something better than nothing for, you know, situations. Because that blackout went as far as Ohio all the way across.
Well, that's because it's you're tied into a grid, that massive blackout.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it,
so if you want to prevent that, it doesn't matter how many power plants you got or what kind they have. If you have something that takes out the entire eastern seaboard grid and you're hooked into that grid, you're out of power. So, I mean, it, whether it's solar panels or windmills or a coal power plant, it's tied into this vulnerable grid system.
Well, what
so that's more when it comes to power outages, it doesn't matter how you produce it. It's the fact that it's tied into a vulnerable grid. That's what you need to address, the fact that the grid is vulnerable against EMPs, you know, magnetic weapons, that kind of thing.
Well, this was just
wind and lightning strikes, you know.
What I'm getting at is that look at how far the length that absolutely went. It went to Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way across.
Yeah. And in that grid system, there was many wind turbines and solar panels hooked into it. So,
but what I'm saying,
they all went out of power.
Oh, no. But what I'm saying is that there should be a split there, at least from the United States to Canada, to where it wouldn't even have went that far. Like, there's got to be a split there. Like, make them more shorter, at least, to where it never has the blackout that size again. You know, and that's what I'm getting at. Like, you know, like, for this never to happen again, something that drastic, like, you know, like, luckily, you know, like, here in Hamilton, I was driving through that during that time, and people were stopping. This person would go, that person would go. Like, you know, like, it was for a thing that happened here in Hamilton, it was pretty amazing how nobody really done anything wrong for the first time. Like, I've never seen anything like that before here. But make it shorter, like, instead of going Hamilton, maybe Stony Creek, then going further out to St. Catharines, and maybe then to Niagara Falls, like, have different splits. So, like, you know, like, that never happens in that big of a grid again.
Well, if you try to get off the grid and put in your own system, they will double your property taxes.
Welcome to Hydro One.
So you can't get away from it. But it just goes to show you they don't care about what type of energy it is. It's not about the environment. It's just about making sure you're paying.
Well, what happened in the 1960s and 70s, I remember, I only witnessed one blackout, and that was because of the weather, freezing rain. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of a blackout other than that.
No, there was one in the 2000s there. I can't remember, in the summertime for, I don't know, what was it, a week or something? Took out like the eastern seaboard into United States and into Canada, and it's because mm-hmm. grid's all connected. It's not like every power generation station had been knocked out. The interconnected grid was knocked out. So that mm-hmm. vulnerability, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it doesn't. The fact that nothing's self-generating, everything's interconnected.
Yeah. There was some reports, though, that was when they fired up the HAARP. They were testing a HAARP back then, 2003, when that big blackout happened.
If you had systems of solar and wind or whatever generating everyone's house independently with their own independent battery bank and that kind of thing, that would be very
efficient.
Efficient. Well, it'd be very good to guard against power outages. You'd never have widespread power outages.
Yeah, but we don't own our own property. That's why we can't do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, property. And that's the thing. So when the government, and they have a track record of getting into wind and solar programs, where they give all these grant money to these companies, and these companies throw stuff up, and then they end up going bankrupt. Like, in no time, they're bankrupt. And it's like, well, why'd they go bankrupt? Well, they took off with the grant money. And they leave these windmills there. And then you find out that the maintenance on these things versus the amount of energy they're producing is costing us a ridiculous amount of money. They can't even pay for themselves, right, in terms of the amount of electricity they need. And then on top of that, you're constantly having to fix the things to keep it running. That's why in the United States, there's like, what, 20,000 stationary windmills in the United States thanks to the wind scam.
that's unfolded in the last decade. It's not that you can't get electricity from wind. It's just that the amount of money we're paying for these windmills and the amount it costs for maintenance versus the amount of electricity we get out, it's like we're just fighting a losing battle here. There's other ways to produce electricity. Hydroelectric is one way to produce a lot of electricity. And Quebec and Ontario has lots of untapped waterways, rivers and streams and lakes that run into each other that we haven't put up hydroelectric dams on. And I think that's a better way to go rather than this, the solar. But I mean, here's the thing. Anytime you give the government the go-ahead to put any type of power station, they just screw you, whether it's a gas plant over there in where Oakville or Mississauga, or it's a hydroelectric dam or windmills or solar panels. They can't do anything right. Well, they're doing,
yeah.
They know what they're doing. That's the thing. I mean, they make it seem like, oh, it's incompetence. But no, they know what they're doing. They're engaged in Ponzi schemes and embezzlement.
Yeah, that's right, because we had a nice big dam over here where I live in the park area, and apparently people were like the dam would be building up, the water would be building up around the dam, and people would go swimming, and a lot of young children would die from drowning and stuff like that. So they had to blow it up. So you have to find some other way of getting your electricity.
Oh, somebody had a little electric thing in there, eh?
Well, it was supposed to collect, like, it was supposed to, draw in it, like electricity, that dam. That was the purpose for it. It was put in 1910, but people were drowning around the build-up there, so,
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they had to blow up a hydroelectric dam, like a real one, because somebody drowned near there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yep.
Well, either way the government comes up with it, or whatever way they want to go, like however they want to do it, but they should come up with another backup plan regardless of whatever they want to do it with.
What I'm saying is just put the power back in the people's hands.
Well, that's not
the problem. Yeah, really.
No, if somebody goes off the grid, they get a windmill and they get solar panels and they put their own system and they're off the grid, they come out and they reassess their property taxes, and it ends up being double what they were paying before. So instead of paying like $4,000 or $5,000 a year property tax, they're paying like $8,000 to $10,000 a year property tax. So why is that even allowed? Well, if you're off the grid and you did it on your own dime, it's why are they allowed to do that?
Well, if we don't own our own home, then we don't have to.
Point is, it's all a scam. If we keep the government the power to do it, then it won't matter what the form of energy we're using.
That's right.
Well, I don't think that I should have to have a backup generator just in case. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that our government is wasting millions of dollars by selling Hydro One in either way you look at it. And, in Hydro One money went to boards of education, which is a big deal. It went towards our infrastructure, and the sell of Hydro One, regardless, we come up and sit there and say we should do this and this, they have it to it's impossible, so we're not going to be able to do anything regardless. Because now, like I said, if we have to sell Hydro over to Brampton or sell it to anywhere else, we're just bankrupting our own country regardless how you want to do it. But either way it happens, but we should try and make it to where, like I said, to where a blackout that size never happens again. Now, if the HARP was the reason why it did it, But that would be almost like from Alaska, because that's where the biggest one is, I believe, for the HARP, which is the American and Canadian one. But when you look at it in that form of being that big, that's a little too big for all of Canada to go out with, and part of the United States. Like, even if you're part of the grid or not, that's a really large grid that has to be broken up.
Well, I also saw there had been a report last week that there had been a solar storm and that Sweden shut down all their airports for a day or something. So solar stuff can interfere with electricity too.
Oh, I'm not denying what can interfere and what can't. But I'm just saying, that's a long grid, like, you know, from over Cincinnati, Ohio, all the way down. I believe it was almost like Thunder Bay and everything. So, like, you know, like, that's a big distance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's huge of it. You know, like, that's over, who knows, like, maybe 1,000 miles? Like, that's a long distance. You know, like, that's almost probably, you know, like, if you were to drive that, that's probably 12 to 14 hours long.
Well, perhaps you guys might be interested in getting a Tesla battery installed. Because according to Elon Musk, you can run most household equipment on a Tesla battery.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, regardless of what they have, like, you know, but pretty soon it's going to be up to the people to come up with their own plans and ideas. So, like, you know, that's the whole thing about it all. Like, you know, we have to become our own everything out here to have anything pretty soon.
That's true.
Whether it's gas, hydro, no matter what you're looking at it, TV, computer, pretty soon you're going to have your own to even have a thing out here. That's the sad part.
Yeah, and they'll probably ban fires too because of the smoke, because they just banned hookahs in Toronto last week.
Banned hookahs. Now, what's that about?
Yeah.
That's like
it's a type of pipe.
It's like some type of Middle Eastern pipe or something. That
yeah, it's like a smoking apparatus, I guess is what it is, because you put in these, shisha discs. Some of them have tobacco, but they had already had the prohibition on tobacco, right, in Ontario, but there wasn't a prohibition on the herbal, I guess, so then now that's been banned.
I've seen those before.
But you're allowed to buy them.
I watch my couple of people that I know smoke those. There were lots of them going. So when I went over there, I figured I'd put a bit of weed in there and snap. You know, they were all mad and everything like that. You know, like I felt like, you know, I had to leave.
Yeah, I guess it's more like a cultural practice because...
Man, this is just on the hookah bars?
Yeah, and they said that there's like already 60 of them in Toronto, so they all have to close by April 1st next year. So they give them a few months to either like reorganize or just like somehow...
but they do these type of things in other countries.
Yeah, but then they've also there have been regulations in other countries as well.
And some kind of new world order. Anyways, we got a break coming up, guys.
Not the law of the jungle.
We'll be back right after these messages.
Warning. Warning. The following message will destroy your paradigm. Proceed with caution. The apocalypse is upon us, brothers and sisters. The great revealing is now. The people have spoken and will no longer be manipulated by snake oil salesmen, masquerading as talk networks and alternative media. The new standard is set. This is the line in the sand. Stand with us to fulfill the mission to raise the consciousness of humanity. Stand against us and be exposed by the light we shine. We are TFR, your 100% listener-supported station, and the last bastion of unadulterated truth. Join the media shift by becoming a TFR supporter today, and send a clear message that the mission will not be jeopardized by corporate greed. Together, we will stand as protection from deception.
Enemy Within Radio on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Tackling the subjects mainstream media does not touch. Behind the curtain conspiracies of the elites, controversial science and research, and delving into the paranormal. Enemy Within is a truly interactive show. Join us in the chat room on Truth Frequency Radio and add to the conversation on it. Challenging the narrative with debate and new perspectives. It's time to lift the lid on what's hidden in plain sight. And pencils, the same ones that took away his voice and just left his instrumental like that.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like listening to podcasts, don't you? Have you ever thought about starting a podcast of your own? If you're a hardcore podcast fan, you probably have, and you've probably got something great to share with the world. I'm Nathan Frazier, and I've created a free online podcasting course for people just like you. Pre-Launch Secrets gives you the top 5 secrets you need to know in order to launch a successful podcast. You'll learn how to create the core concept of your podcast, how to build a solid audience, and how to consistently generate great content for that audience. These are the secrets the pros use when coming up with ideas for their podcasts. And after this course, you'll have them all at your disposal. The course is free. It's taught by me. Enroll today. Go to podcastblastoff.com/course. That's podcastblastoff.com/course. Podcast Blastoff, the future of podcasting.
Phoenix Rising Radio with Phoenix, Monday through Thursday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
Burn blue on the sea, loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Swimming in sewage, buddy.
Swimming in sewage. Yeah, if you thought the Rio kayaking Olympics was crappy, just come on visit the St. Lawrence River.
Yeah, there was supposed to be 8 billion tons they're doing for the environmental study. So that's, hopefully that's a few generations. I don't know how long it takes to get to 8 billion tons of sewage. 8
billion tons of sewage is being released?
Yeah, that's what they're studying. So hopefully that's over like a few decades, you'd hope. Like, look, if one city makes that in a year, then how much sewage do people make, really?
Yeah, well, they collect it and they spray it on the farm crops. You ever heard of Holland Landing, boys? That's where your poo's being sprayed on your farm crops. It's growing on area.
So that's why it's bi-local, you get...
So, guys, getting back quick to the hookah ban.
Yeah, it was an. So it was an interesting debate they had.
Well, this is my thing, okay? These hookah bars, they want to ban them from being able to smoke the hookah inside. So, I guess they could still sell the hookah and the tobacco or the flavored whatever it is they smoke, but they couldn't smoke it in the actual bar. So, it'd be like a hookah store, essentially. But this is my thing. It's not like a restaurant. You know, they banned smoking in restaurants a while back. So it's not like McDonald's, you know. It's not like there's a guy sitting there chain smoking next to a family trying to eat their meal, chain smoking cigarettes in a McDonald's. It's a hookah bar. The people going to this hookah bar are going there for the express intent to smoke their hookah. So, like, who is the smoke going to offend? That's what I don't understand. So the hookah bar, hookah ban is stupid. It is nanny state on steroids. And I won't.
It's funny you say that because one of the counselors actually proudly stated this is the nanny state.
It is the nanny state. And who?
Glenn DeBaremaker of Scarborough.
Who was it again?
Glenn DeBaremaker of, he's one of the Scarborough counselors. One of
the Scarborough counselors. Well, I'd like to congratulate that man and shake his hand someday because it is nanny state. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But he was actually championing it.
It's not like they're doing their hookah bar in the middle of 7-Eleven or something.
Well, do you get high off it and all of a sudden think that you have hula dancing girls there or something from Hawaii? Like, you know, like...
This looks like a Rob Ford commercial.
It got, the vote was 34-3. So three counselors did actually support the ban, and probably Rob Ford or support not having the ban, and probably Rob Ford would have supported not having the ban as well, because Giorgio Mammoliti surprisingly sounded the most reasonable here, and he's one of Rob, he's like usually the least reasonable of counsel. So that's why it's a weird thing. And then one of the other counselors from Etobicoke actually said he goes to one about once a month. He's one of the ones that voted against it. And then they keep on bringing up cannabis. Throughout the whole debate, they keep on bringing up cannabis because they say, with a new government in Ottawa, won't we be debating in a few months once all these cannabis lounges start opening up once it becomes legal?
So here's what I think, you know, the hookah bar ban and they have until April 1st. I think they might have until April 1st to reclass their business as a private hookah club. Members only. You charge a fee for membership.
Right.
Membership, you go to the hookah club, your local club. So I'm not a lawyer, but I've heard of this kind of thing before with other, you know, government crackdown on regulations.
Yeah, that is how the vapor lounges work as well.
Whoa. Okay, so that's what they got to do. They got to find a lawyer, figure out how to do this the right way, and skirt around it. If Uber can run around tax licenses,
well, I mean, to give you an idea, Walter Tucker and Mike Bolizzaro, they had the Church of the Universe, and all of a sudden you could become a member by paying $15 to become a member there. So if they can do it, why not them?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be probably one of the things they'll do. And then, so they'll still all be operating, and it's just going to go underground. But the other argument they brought up was all those, like, safe injection sites, places they give out crack pipes and stuff. How can you allow that on city property, but then not allow a hookah?
Toronto needs, you know. That's what, like, seriously, that's what Toronto needs. It needs more places for people to inject heroin. And more free crack pipes for all. A crack pipe for everyone. Because if BC and Vancouver can do it, doggone it, why can't Toronto? And I mean, Toronto's gotten a little cleaner over the years because it's gotten so expensive for real estate there. Rent and housing prices are through the roof. Some of the most expensive in the country. So drug abuse has actually gone down because it's just too expensive. Unless they've got a unit that's subsidized somehow in an area of Toronto. The poor have been forced out of there. So a lot of the drug use, typically heavy drug users, if they're not poor, they become poor in no time because the substance they're on is so expensive. So, I mean, the drug abuse has gone down. But now that we got free crack pipes and safe injection sites in Toronto, I mean, what the hey?
Well, you can always go to another country. And when you're at that other country, the best thing you could, then you go, where are you from? And you go Canada, they go, oh, you're all high from there.
Yeah. The illegal immigrants come in here and we're like, yeah, here's your free house and a free car and here's your free money. And don't forget to get your free crack pipe. And over there, that's where you go inject your drug.
You would have also liked the debate. One of the counselors brought up the Michael Bloomberg when he tried to ban the soft drinks. Sugary soft drinks.
Sugary soft drinks. We're going to ban sugary soft drinks, but we need a safe place for people and to inject drugs.
And then the other one I didn't hear about was processed red meat. He actually cited a UN report saying the UN said red meat processed is bad. So look for that ban, too.
Yeah, but there's so much controversy over that. My boss says, GMO food basically is good and all this kind of stuff. And I know it's not. Processed foods is not exactly good for you. And, you know, he's just trying to save his business, you know, this type of thing. So, yeah, it's whichever way you want to go, it's up to you. But I'd rather live clean and happy and a good, healthy lifestyle, you know, this type of thing, with less processed foods.
Remember Olympics, guys? The Vancouver Olympics.
Right.
And they had to clean up their image, so they started busting the homeless people out of there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And they had all the protest thing and the black bloc were running around, running amok and all that stuff. But you also had at the same time, they're trying to clean up their image by busting the homeless people out of there. They had crack pipe vending machines being installed. Crack pipe vending machines.
Yeah, probably a McDonald's Athletes Village too.
Oh no, the Hamilton by the busloads. They do. They grab all their poor people from Toronto and they send them all over here to Hamilton. So when they come over here with their squeegees and stuff, the police absolutely charge them for them trying to endanger themselves.
That's
what happens over here. Now, I'd like to talk about one thing. Have you noticed the media with Rob Ford, how they all are with him? Oh, poor Rob Ford, poor Rob Ford. During the time.
Yeah, they've actually totally switched.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you ever notice that? Because he's all sick and everything.
Now that he's got cancer, yeah, that's when.
Yeah, but back in 2013, there they are all over him. Crackhead Rob Ford, pothead Rob Ford.
Exactly, yeah. He was the heel, and now he's gone fit the baby face.
Rob Ford should move to Vancouver.
It was a swerve.
He should move to Vancouver, and then he should run for mayor of Vancouver, land of the crack pipe vending machines paid for by your tax dollars.
As long as you can get the Sikh vote, you know, it could be important.
I don't know. What do the Sikhs, are they into that kind of stuff? I don't know. How is our tax money being spent on this?
Do you know that Justin Trudeau also lied about the gender parity? Remember how he's championed as the feminist prime minister because he allowed equal numbers of ministers, female and male?
Yep, I remember.
And then it turned out five of them aren't even ministers. They're called ministers of state. They're a junior minister, and they're all women. All five junior ministers are women.
Distress.
And they gave him, he gave him a raise.
Yeah, he's going to give him a raise eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, he gave him a raise. There's no denying it. Like, you know.
So they get an equal pay. They'll just have a lower position.
So when they thought that they were bringing in Catherine Wynne's future son, Justin Trudeau, did they think it was going to get better with the Liberal Party? Like, if you just see what she's done with the gas scandals, the hydro scandals, every other scandal she came up with, from the LRT to whatever she can imagine in the world, that Justin's going to go, you're wrong, you're out. You are out of the Ontario as Premier. I cannot handle you no more. And if anyone thinks that this is going to happen, the first thing he says is that I'm for her pension plan.
And she gets a raise.
Because right before, right after, I guess, the election, they said that maybe the Kathleen Wynne pension plan won't be needed because the Liberals won, so Justin Trudeau will just enhance the Canadian one. And then Justin Trudeau shows up in Toronto with Kathleen Wynne and says that he supports her plan. So
yeah, right off the hop. That's the first thing. Some hugging each other, no doubt.
They need to create, yeah, like, why would they actually need to create another provincial one when they could just enhance the national one?
And you've seen Catherine Wynne come out there during the time of the election promoting her lesbianness and getting everybody that was part of it. She spent more time at the election than she did inside of the Ontario legislation during that time.
Yeah, they did expose that, in that there was a documentary too that exposes Kathleen Wynne. Behind the scenes one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And this,
and they show she only cares about the by-election, not about the gas plant or anything.
She doesn't care about anything as long as the gay people know that she's gay.
Vote for her. She's gay. Vote for her.
Yeah.
It's the gay vote. Yeah.
And that's what it's all about over there because, you know, Toronto has a pretty wide population of that over there, but I think everywhere is turning like this. Well, they keep listening to her.
It's become this what it is. It's identity politics, and it's become identity politics with WWE music intros bringing in the friggin'. It's ridiculous. Okay, it's full on potato, and I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's being promoted. That's why, you know, the media, television, movies.
Yeah, you can find stats where it's only like 1% of the population actually is gay.
Well, I'll give you an example. When Kathleen Wynne goes to an elementary school and she comes out and saying that all the mothers are proud that I'm a lesbian, instead of, and this is on bullying day, not a bullying program like Scare Straight, nothing like a boot camp for the kids to go to, nothing that made any sense, just her going out there and going to the elementary school children, you know, the parents are all glad that I'm gay, and what I'm going to do is three times a year is have the boys wear dresses and the girls wear a suit.
Well, why does it have to be about her sexuality? Imagine a male principal came out there and said the same thing. Or Stephen Harper. Let's say Stephen Harper went out there and said, Well, I like to stick my penis in women's vaginas, and, you know, how about a round of applause for me? It's ridiculous. I mean, who does that? You're at elementary school. What does your sexuality or your sexual life have to do with elementary school children? It is sick and twisted, whether it's gay sex or straight sex, whether Stephen Harper wants to put his pee-pee in a bum-bum or, you know, whatever. It's ridiculous. Why are we going to elementary schools, and why aren't we talking about math and reading, and how do we get, you know, encourage kids to stay in school? No, it's all about, hey, throw on a dress and use the girls' bathroom.
I guess Eminem came up with that tune. You make me go boing, boing, boing.
Really? It's funny how it all is now. Being gay, lesbian, or anything like that is the norm. But if you're straight, forget it. It's not normal to be straight anymore. That's the impression I'm getting.
That's true, Mike. And why is it being promoted? We must ask ourselves.
I think the higher powers are using homosexuality for the depopulation program, because lesbians and homosexuals will not have children. So that's they're being used, and they don't even know it. They're being lied to right in front of their faces. And the higher powers are wanting the gay and lesbian crowds to promote what they're doing.
Well, I'd say eugenics for sure, but the depopulation I'm not totally sure about, because they want the kids born in the like artificially anyways.
Yeah, right.
Made in a laboratory, and they can do that now with
Sure, they can.
Any sex or whatever.
And then they can maybe program those children.
Yeah, but can be a curse too, because I think there were local women, but they had it done in the States. I guess you can't do it in Canada as like a business, but in the States you can actually buy the sperm donation. And they went down there, and then they ended up getting the donor. This is a lesbian couple from Ontario, somewhere in Ontario, went down there and ended up getting a donor who had lied, and he was actually a bipolar psychotic guy. And then they tried to get their money back, and then I guess the judge ruled they can't get their money back. Or it might even still be in their courts or whatever. But they have the kid now, and they're...
Come to Canada. We'll give it to you for free.
They wanted a high IQ donor, though. That's where you know the eugenics is into it, because it's like you pick your donor, and then you want to have a high IQ, and probably based on how they look and how they... how much money they make or what, you know, they'll have a whole thing of stats of genes, I guess.
Margaret Sanger all over again.
No.
Imagine if Bill Clinton himself went to an school just to simply say that he did have sexual relations with that woman and then just, you know, drop the mic and left. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. They're children. What do they have to, you know, it's none of their business.
The Bill Clinton, though, it was with an intern. It was a very young intern, so it is...
Yeah, but I'm not saying Bill Clinton would ever do something this absurd.
But maybe you should, just to warn the kids that the adults are going to be after them. Like.
You know, people don't seem to get it. If it's a woman who's a lesbian, all of a sudden she gets a pass to be a pedophile on stage with a bunch of school children. Pass. If anyone else did it, we'd be like, that's really creepy, okay? For a young kid, you don't do that. If it was any male, you'd call the guy a pedophile, of course, and they should be. So why does Kim Jong-un get a pass? Why does Orville Redenbacher get a pass?
Woodenpecker, yeah.
He doesn't get a pass. I'm sick of Orville Redenbacher representing the pedophile lobby. It's disgusting. Why are elected officials pushing pedophilia?
I think what they did is they watched the movie Braveheart. They turn around, watch Spartacus, and they want to go back in those times to regenerate a perversion that they did back then because they didn't know any better. It's kind of day, and this is what I think that they've all been doing. And instead of looking at it in reality, now I have a couple of potty talk videos out there about it's called Catherine Wynne with Justin Trudeau's daughter, sex ed, and I want to assure you of it. I show them in dolls. There's no proper way of showing children. To all the grandmothers out there, to all the parents out there, you want this to happen? No one's stopping you. Do it yourself. Who's stopping them? No one.
Well, the unfortunate part is all this ridiculous curriculum is coming from UNESCO. It's not it's not coming from local or, you know, national or provincial.
It's like it could have been written by Subway's Jared.
Yeah, it should have been. Yeah, it was written by Subway's Jared, basically.
It's actually, that's a really heinous case when you actually hear like him in the audio reports.
What happened with Jared? I don't know the ins and outs. Give us a breakdown.
Well, somehow Dr. Phil actually has the tapes. He's been airing the tapes. He's, I guess it's Jared's old girlfriend started recording him because like she was actually sick by this. But in the tapes, though, it is sick because she's playing along with him, I guess, to try to make him talk about all this, saying that she's really into it. He says he's into boys or girls and that he's gone to Thailand a bunch of times and that he can find them in America too. And he's already paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars to each of the victims, and that's multiple victims, over $1 million already. And that's even before the trial or anything.
So all this Subway sandwich money he's been getting for promotion, he's blowing through on underage children.
Yeah.
It appears.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, too, is that Subway had him as a national speaker speaking with a lot of like youth groups and stuff, too. It's like,
oh, yeah, Camp Jared.
Yeah, camp.
Subway Summer Camp.
The fat camp.
Donate to Subway Summer Camp.
So that's where you have to look into everyone that's basically made into like an icon. Like Jared is made into an icon just because he lost weight while he was eating fast food.
Obviously, more than that.
Yeah.
Guy's an autistic pervert. If you really look at the situations, like, you know, like, I myself get disgusted by this. Like, you know, like, I don't know how any parent out there is sitting there going, I am for all this. Like, I can assure you, like, how can anybody be for any of this? You know, consensual sex is going to, they want it to go down to 10. They have it at 12 already. Like, you know, like, what is it going to happen? Like, you know, down to 4 years old? Like, come on. Like, there's going to be a limitation from it, whether it's coming from the UN, no matter what globalists it's coming from, but altogether, like, but it's happening in other countries right now. This is going on right now, like that guy said from Subway.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got the UK, which is right full of pedophile politicians, just like Canada, and as well as Australia and New Zealand have the same problem. It's the same mantra, and I don't know how or why it's happening. We just know that it's happening. I mean, many think it has to do with blackmail and keeping these people, these puppets in line. I don't know. But it's disgusting. So we're going to call them out on it.
And the other bad part was that the authorities had known for like 2 years, I guess, before they even arrested Jared. Like, Jared's been doing this last 2 years with the authorities knowing it. So that part's sick, too.
Well, they had to watch first to get enough evidence, right? You know, like, this is our police department. This is where, you know, all the perversion comes in because they have to film everything and go, here's the evidence today. You know, because DNA doesn't matter. Nothing really matters anymore. And if you just look at it all, like, you know, everything has just become video, 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 video.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless of it all, do you have video? Except for when you do have the video and you show up there and they go, video is no longer allowed to be used.
Yeah, and you put your camera away, yeah, and the cops walk up and hand out.
But
I was surprised, actually, with the Canadian election that Bill Blair wasn't given a minister job. He's just going to be on the bench, I guess. The old Toronto police chief, just because he's got the experience with G20 and martial law and stuff.
It's just ridiculous when you look at it all. You know, like, here in Hamilton, Ontario, like, you just see the people voting for the people in there. You know, like, they're all sitting there going, it's the old people doing it. It's the other people also not coming out. Like, and even if they do come out, will it really matter? You know, like, just look at how you can vote today. Just look at everything that is going on today. Canada has become really, like, just a place to look at as a joke. But I'll tell you what, no joke is. They were showing Russian ships coming towards here, and they were showing like 7 of them. I figured all they really needed was one, though. Canada does not really have an army, so I don't know what they're doing. you know, like before we were a neutral country, I would like to see us become that again. You know, say what you want about Switzerland, they're a neutral country, and look at what they have.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that Canada seems to have sided with the ISIS, or what John McCain calls the Syrian Syrian Freedom Army or something.
Toyota's number one country.
Yeah. A few white Toyotas, and the Russian jet is a, that's an unknown, I guess, still remains an unknown what happened in Egypt.
Well, I even mentioned a while back, even before it even happened, well, just as it was happening, that ISIS probably shot it down, but then Russia and Egypt are basically trying to downplay it and saying, saying no, we don't have enough evidence of that. I don't think it really happened. But in my mind, it was probably ISIS that shot the airliner down with made in America weapons. So it's all interacted with everybody else there. So they're trying, it's an inside job.
Like a bomb went off in the plane while it was flying. The Western media. So. Mm-hmm. You want to believe that, yeah, it could be one of those shoulder-fired Stinger missiles that they gave to ISIS. And they don't want that to get out because then the finger's going to be pointed back at them.
Exactly.
So if it's a bomb, it's like, oh, no, ISIS did this on their own. It's worse if it comes out that it was a shoulder-fired Stinger missile, you know?
Yeah, or something on board. I haven't ruled that out either.
Kane, several times on video, saying that he wants to give these guys Stinger missiles and also the capabilities to shoot down these airliners. He didn't even say Air Force or fighter jets or strike aircraft. He said airliners.
Yeah. I know. He said he wants to give them the ability to shoot down those planes. And the Fox guy asks him, who are you talking about? And that's when he goes, the Free Syrian Army, or whatever he calls them.
His buddy al-Baghdadi, who ended up dead, is head of al-Qaeda, who was in pictures with John McCain as the Free Syrian Army, that same guy. So which is he? Is he ISIS or Free Syrian Army? Or they just morph, within a few months, they morph from Free Syrian Army into ISIS. I don't get it. Ask Johnny McCain. He won't answer the question.
He's probably the new leader now. For ourselves and for future. Well, we are out of time for today. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we will be back at you next weekend. Not the law of the jungle. Thank you for listening. The
conduct of Angry Beaver Radio.
Chris Gio here, founder of Truth Frequency Radio. On November 5th, TFR will be 6 years old, and with every anniversary, this is a time for great reflection. As an avid listener of talk radio myself, I got sick and tired of listening to talk networks that were created for the sole purpose of trying to sell me snake oil. When I found out that the hosts are actually contractually obligated to disguise advertisements in the form of their news stories, I knew that I couldn't trust alternative media any more than the mainstream. That's when I knew I had to build TFR as an ad-free and 100% listener-supported station. My personal promise to you is that when you listen to TFR, you'll always be able to trust what you hear. You can be part of this media paradigm shift right now by becoming a TFR supporter today and letting the corporate-controlled media know that the message is far too important to dilute in hidden advertisements and hidden agendas. Together, we are TFR, your protection from deception.
And now it's time for comments from our listeners.
Mike writes, "So, what do you do? I have listened to the show enough to believe the majority of what is stated, but still, what movements do you support? What actions have you set in motion aside from the enlightening of the masses? I never seem to find any action to put these words into effect. So what say you? A program meant to incite the masses to rise against their tyrannical masters? Or just a venue for you guys to scratch a living off of?"
Dear Mike, it looks like you've busted us. Our day jobs are really just a front, just to cover up the fact that we make so much money off of doing what we do, that every single one of the hosts on the station has a full-time job, just to cover up the fact that they're making so much money doing this. It always has been, and always will be. all about the Benjamins.